I think we should be live. Hell yes. Hell yes. That was dope. Yeah. How do you do that? How does that work?
I just blink. Where's the live chat?
I'll send you the link. He knew that I'd set up the joke for him to crack very perfectly, and thus he could not resist. Brilliant. So here is, I think I sent you the studio link. Wait, hold up. That won't work. So
let me pop out the live chat so that I also have a little bit of fun.
For sure. Chat, hum aa gaye, and today we're going to be discussing something very, very important. And it's going to be very, very important as far as people jo mereko yahan sunne aate hain are concerned. Because this is exactly the kind of conversation I want to get across to you. So we are very lucky ki hamare saath the Lightning Emperor. We could not add one more syllable to that. Anyway, we could make it more complicated than the Lightning Emperor. Drop the. Kya point hai the ka?
It's a title. Even on Instagram, it's the Varun Maya. Authenticity.
So the only.
The only.
You know what I truly think though? I mean, even for, let's say, your branding taste, the Lightning Emperor is a little cheesy. Don't you think?
I know.
That is on purpose?
It is done on purpose.
Yeah? How come? What does that do?
So there was this anime I used to watch when I was very young. It's actually one of the first animes I'd watched. It was called The Get Backers. And there are two characters in The Get Backers. One is the Lightning Emperor. His name is Genji Amano. And there's this other guy. So the guy who is Genji Amano is the Lightning Emperor. He's very powerful, but he like shields his power from, you know, the world. He on purpose tends to be completely useless. I really like the vibe, and then it's the first anime I watched. I was like, this is really cool. And in almost every game I've played, my name is either the Lightning Emperor or it is Jesus Kamehameha. So
the best of both worlds. Jesus bhi hai, Goku bhi hai.
It's one of the two. And I was playing Valorant with the guys from my army. I have an army, guys, for people listening.
The Lightning Emperor has an army? Or is it like the Avalon army?
It's the Avalon
army. Avalon army, right.
And I jumped on one of the, what do you call it? The conference rooms. And I was playing and I was streaming. And people were like, okay, play with us. I was like, cool. And then they saw my name, the Jesus Kamehameha name. And they're like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, I would say that.
Get a blast on that for a while.
See, I have like my name on Fortnite, which is the only game I rarely play now, is PGX. It's simple. I have like no innovative ends on that, and there is no characters that I've ever really liked enough to like sort of, you know. So that's never happened. But
yeah, there's no vibe. There's no vibe in PGX.
I know.
You don't feel the vibe is here. Yeah, the fearsomeness, you don't feel it.
You don't feel it until you meet it, you know? then. So I like to reserve my surprises for after.
True. By the way, the people in the chat saying Varun, I have no idea who you're talking about, guys.
Bro, huh? Who the hell is Varun?
I'm the Lightning Emperor.
Who the hell is Varun and who the hell is Prakhar? There is no Prakhar here. But, let me... Because there is something that sort of started brewing yesterday on a live stream I was at.
Mm-hmm.
My internet connection's unstable. And the conversation that started brewing had to do with what Whitehead Jr. has put out as an ad, how the five-year-old kid is coding and whatnot, and you know, all that jazz from there. And disagreement broke to the effect that is wrong. This encourages parents to like push their kids into coding in the same fashion that engineering is pushed down their throats. Versus what I was saying was, well, it makes perfect sense. Matlab, it is good that we are at least looking in the direction of coding. Because that is sort of an unavoidable future.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where do you fall on that count?
Coding is really useful. It's like, look, we speak the English language, right? You and me.
Right.
And that's how, that sets the basis of communication between us.
Hmm.
And you were taught what a cat is. I was taught what a cat is. Hmm. So if I say cat, both of us know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you might be thinking of a black cat, I might be thinking of a white cat.
Right.
So, So in a sense, coding sets the precedent for you to communicate not just with computers, so that when you say something, a computer understands it. It's also for your communication with other coders, right? And there are going to be plenty in the future. So when you say API, another person knows what API means. So it's a very difficult future that we're going to enter. And boss, if you exist in 2020 without knowing the English language, without being able to use a mobile phone, ab kaha rahoge? What are you going to do?
Yep.
What are you going to do? So right. That's what the world is.
Right. And I mean, that is exactly what I was getting at. Ki yaar, coding is not just a skill. Coding is what the future world is made out of. And I don't mean in the sense of just blah, blah, but even the understanding of the future world is in that language. It's no longer in English. It's no longer in whatever language you speak. It's in a new, there is a reason why it is a language. It constructs reality from bottom up in a very, very novel way. And so, I don't see, like look at where you are right now, right? I spent, say, X amount of money setting this up, buying these books, getting this shelf, whenever, however many years ago, and getting this. You did not. You learned how to spell, you learned how to do spells, basically.
True.
You know what I mean? It's magic at that point. It's all the Harry Potter we've been chasing at that point.
True. It's going to be a crazy world. Like, check this out. Like, I can do really, really cool stuff. And obviously, this didn't require code, but knowing code will make it easier. I usually do it on an iPad. I just press the buttons on an iPad and different stuff happens. Like, if I press a button, the entire screen goes wavy. So, it's... Code allows you to do, it's leverage, because it allows you to do in a very small amount of resources what one person or a team or a nation could do in a lot of resources. So, yeah, one thing I've realized, life is a game of snakes and ladders. Okay, and entrepreneurship specifically is a game of snakes and ladders. So you're walking, you start snakes and ladders, okay? There are going to be some areas where you find a ladder. You're like, ye secret technique tha, I have now climbed up three stairs. I went from slot 5 or whatever.
5 to 25, whatever.
To 25, because I found this ladder. And there'll be some places where there's snakes. You'll be like, shit, I didn't know this hiring this one guy could ruin my entire company. Right? So you fall all the way back down. And you might think, well, why doesn't everyone take a ladder? It's because they don't know which slot it's on exactly. One of the opportunities will have a ladder. Right? And you don't know which opportunity that is. And you might try and spend some time here. You might be like, this is a blank slot. Or it might be a snake. Right? Or you try like 5 different slots. You're like, okay, the fourth one was a ladder. And I climbed up.
Right.
Code is the biggest ladder you can find.
Right.
In today's day and age. If you can learn to code, it's like a straight, see the, like, from slot 5 to slot 50. Right? So
that's a good way of putting it.
Yes.
And like, pata hai, it is very unique, the setting that you're sitting in, right? Like this entire thing is sort of an early representation of a coming future. You and I both understand that. In fact, it's no longer coming if it's there. But let's just say it's coming more dominantly, it's coming more pervasively, it's coming more unavoidably a few years from now, right?
Sure.
And with that in mind, do you think 5 years? What do you think about this 5 year wala age ka thing? That the child is 5 years and he's being taught coding. Do you think that is possible? Or do you think that is advisable? Do you think that is something so sensible?
See, I'll tell you, you should be taught coding at the age of 5 years. Because when do we start teaching a kid English?
Or precisely.
The primary language, second or third grade. What I don't agree with is the way it's being done. Right? And to be honest, it's totally on the parents, guys. Because parents, see, when somebody's like in their 15, 16s or whatever, they're gullible. But if a parent in their 40s can't make the right decision for their children or gets swept into the coding craze, then really it reflects more on the parents than anything. Like, you should just let White Hat do whatever ads they want. If they're lying, then just go, or telling complete untruths, then go and, file an FIR or something. Right? So it's just... The world is 99% people who are scamming other people. Right. It's a brutal world, right? So instead of you focusing on somebody else's lane and saying, why is White Hat Junior doing something? And I have my own thoughts around White Hat Junior in the sense that coding is useful and necessary for kids. They should be taught it early, but they should not be taught it in such a formalized manner. The problem is the parents don't know code. Because English mein you can actually, or whatever your primary language, my parents know Kannada, for example. They taught me Kannada when I was very young because they knew Kannada. Right? They knew that they can teach me, and they knew the syntax. They used to speak it around me.
Hmm.
Whereas, you know, with children today, if a parent wants to teach, like, I would never send my child to a coding class because I teach my child myself.
Hmm.
I would teach my child literally the basics of code and be like, this is the language I speak. I can speak partially.
Hmm.
Right. And I would teach the child my preference of coding language. Just like my parents taught me Kannada, which is not the most popular, you know, language in the world. It's English. I learned Kannada, okay, because of my parents. And then eventually I migrated to English. Hmm. But it was not very difficult for me to migrate to English.
Hmm.
Right. So similarly, I'll teach my child the basic principles of code, which are, I might teach my kids in Java or Ruby or something.
Right.
But when it actually gets to prime time, when they get to their 20s, there might be something else.
Hmm.
But the concepts are important.
Hmm.
By the way, you know, it's being shoved down kids' throat. I don't know if that's really cool. But we don't say things like, oh, we shove the English language down a kid's throat at the age of two.
Right.
We don't, right?
People fail to make that distinction. And I mean, I have no interest here. I've never, the last time I coded was like 7th or 8th grade. That's the only, I was in basic or some shit like that. That's the only time I ever, I barely understand the idea deep enough, but I do understand how pervasively that wall is going to hit me, everybody around me in a way. And, you know, maybe there is a future beyond this imaginable future where things become objects again and they make it easy for non-coders to understand and play with objects like it is sort of right now.
It
but
will happen.
Huh?
It will happen at some point.
Right, of course. I remember when designing websites on, what software was that? Some Adobe software was like this heavy deal they teach to us in class. Right now, it's like, jao, bas, theek hai, you pick up objects and it's done. And I don't think that
landing page.
Huh? What'd you say? Landing page?
Yeah, I mean, today, there are plenty of website makers, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. So, I see, that's interesting. I also, I don't know about White Hat Junior. I don't know about the advertisement. I don't know about 5-year-old. I know about the fact that we should be looking to it with more sincerity than we've ever had, given how important it is to have skilled people going into the future.
I agree.
Makes sense.
I agree. And also one more thing, I've started to get very annoyed with like people in general, like generally the general audience. I'll tell you why. Anything that gets big, right, there obviously going to be like 100 faults with it.
Hmm.
Right? There's no such thing. There's no business, no person ever that's perfect.
Right.
Right. I mean, you can always help institutions get better. Like you can always say the banking system is corrupt. Can we do something about it?
Hmm.
You can give actionable insights, right? But constantly complaining about a particular individual or a particular company, it gets you nowhere.
Right.
Especially if you single out the company. If you say these types of companies are bad, I understand. I get it.
Hmm.
But if you say this particular company, at least give them the chance to improve. Give them, tell them, boss, you're wrong. Because there's no guidebook to running a company.
Mm.
There's no guidebook to being a human being.
Mm.
Right? And we're all extremely flawed. So that's why I keep thinking, right, that I don't listen to this thing. But then I went and did my own research. There are some ads that are misleading. It's just really funny, the ads that I saw. Mm. But dude, the target is like 30, 40 year old parents, right? I think if you're in the 30s and 40s and you're that gullible, then you don't deserve to. I mean, how are you going to make good decisions for your children then?
Right.
Like
right.
If you read something saying, oh, 20 crores for 12 year old, and you believe that,
then you're stupid.
I mean, then how are you going to bring up children into this competitive world?
Right. If you have a drawing, then you'll have a problem.
Yeah, I think it's a good shit test.
It's a good shit test. It filters out the grand filter. That's what it does. Right. Hmm. So, tell me, how does this work, man? Like, we can sort of kind of make peace with the fact that coding is going to be so important and our world's going to be more and more code than it is brick and mortar or it is physical objects, and my interaction in a day is going to increase massively like it is already with the screen and with code, and all of this is going to be my, how do you say, my like a muffled reality, like it's like you're real right now but you're not quiet. You know, right? You know what I mean? What happens? Where do we go from here?
I want to clarify the question that you asked me.
Mm-hmm, please.
You mean because of the way the world is moving, where do we end up? Is that?
I mean the digital. Like, so you know, moving along the speculation we made about how our future is going to be more and more code. What does it look like? How do I physically imagine it? What's a good concept?
So it's not, I mean, the first principles are you create this, you have created now this Pandora's box, the internet, you just opened it, right? The internet, social media, there's no undoing it. You cannot, a lot of people said ban social media, delete social media. You can't do that. Because if you ban social media, hundreds and thousands of businesses would die. And in fact, your economy would just get crippled if you did that. So social media is not going anywhere. It might change in form, but it's not going anywhere.
Right.
You have code. You have the powers where now everybody can learn anything. Till now, not everybody could learn anything. Like you have to travel like hundreds and thousands of miles to learn something.
Right.
You can't learn it now. I mean, it's just now. It's just you have the internet. You have this particular Udemy or Coursera or Avalon Meta or whatever. You just learn something. So now you're this child. You're sitting at home. You have the abilities of the internet for unlimited distribution, and you have the abilities of the internet for to write code, right? To leverage code. So now that makes you one of the most dangerous people in the world. So, but not everybody can do both. You kept saying, right? I'm going to be left out. You felt like you're going to be left out. Actually, there's one more thing that you can do that not many other people can do. Very few people can do.
Which is?
And that is building a community. Right? Not everyone can build a community. Like I've interviewed and hired hundreds of developers, right? You need... They can't do that community bit. Like some of them can and they become great storytellers, and most of them don't. A developer who can also write or build a community rarely works for somebody else. Like it's rare for that person to work for somebody else. They'd rather do everything by themselves.
Right.
Right. So you have that crazy community ability. If you just tied up with somebody who's say a good dev, you're sorted. Right. Somebody to do the hard work of, you know,
building. Right.
So you're also building. Building a community is still building.
Right.
I'll tell you why. People think you just make a platform and then people will come. No, you need to nurture them. You need to do lives. You need to constantly talk to them. Or your engagement dips.
Yeah, I know. Hard. I know. Right?
And if you disappear for a month, you're done. Your community will be like, Prakar who?
Really? Right?
Or 6 months. It's whatever. If you disappear for 6 months.
That's bloody harsh, huh?
Yeah, it's the YouTube world, right? There'll be 10 other people who've come up and now their attention is gone there. So it's very difficult.
Right.
But that being said, where is this going to lead to? It's going to lead to a place where jobs disappear.
You're sure jobs disappear. It's not like hum jab industrial era when we had machineries rolling out. We were like, listen, all jobs are going to get disappeared.
100%. That's a bad argument. I'll tell you why.
Why?
Back then, you invented the steam engine. You still needed somebody to man it. Right? So the type of jobs changed. So before that, there were, you know, people who were doing agriculture who were like, okay, I've come to the city now to do something in the city, and they end up, you know, running a train or, you know, stuff like that. But today the form of jobs is such that the way AI works right now, there are two kinds of AI, right? One is AGI, which everyone's really scared of, which is AI gets human intelligence, right? And is able to solve a broad array of tasks. I'm not so worried about that. The AI that I'm worried about is just narrow AI, which is, boss, now I can do data entry. The AI says I can do data entry, right? And all your data entry jobs are gone. Right? And the same skills, which is, you're not training the AI to specifically do data entry. It's learning by itself. Right? It has solved, and you should look at some of the videos from, what are they called? OpenAI, before they got famous for GPT-3. They've done these set, it's called the hide and seek thing, hide and seek model. So check out the hide and seek model. It's crazy. It's like, and I think you should play it. Like if you can share your screen or something and just play it. Just look for OpenAI hide and seek.
Let me see. Give me a second. Let me try and see how to, because I think I'll have to move a few settings on my Zoom. Okay, let's try. Fuck it. You said OpenAI.
OpenAI hide and seek. And you love this. People know OpenAI for GPT, but GPT is like literally not, it's not even close to one of their best accomplishments, in my opinion.
ठीक है, ये OpenAI, is this on what's it called? YouTube's fine?
Yeah, YouTube's fine.
ठीक है, and do I need audio for this? I don't really think so, right?
Share your screen, I mean, share. Let's see what happens.
Yaar, that by itself is also such a problem. Let me try.
Want me to do it?
हाँ, can you, but पता नहीं, as soon as I do that, no, the OBS stops showing us.
No, hang on.
Huh, how do you do it?
Hang on.
Huh.
Hi, have you always wanted to learn to code, but don't know where to start? Would you like to make... Dear fellow scholars, this is 2 Minute Papers with Caro Jona Ife. We start up with pandemonium.
One second. Still figuring this out.
Right. Go ahead. Oh, you'll do it here.
Yeah.
Cool. Theek hai.
Okay. Sounds good. So basically something starts with
everyone
randomness.
Running around aimlessly. Without proper strategy and semi-random movements, the seekers are favored and hence win the majority of the games. To see here. Then, over time, the hiders learned to lock out the seekers by blocking the doors off with these boxes and started winning consistently. I think the coolest part about this is that the map was deliberately designed by the OpenAI scientists in a way that the hiders can...
They're learning by themselves, by the way.
They cannot win alone.
They learn to collaborate.
They are forced to learn, which they did quite well. But then something happened. Did you notice this pointy doorstop-shaped object? Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Ooh.
Well, probably. And not only that, but about 10 million rounds later, the AI also
10 million rounds
that it can be pushed near a wall and be used as a ramp. And ta-da! Got him. The seekers started winning more again. So the ball is now back on the court of the hiders. Can you defend this? If so, how? Well, these resourceful little critters learned that since there is a little part of the game when the seekers are frozen, apparently
that's fucking weird.
During this time they cannot see them, so why not just sneak out, steal the ramp, and lock it away from them? Absolutely incredible. Look at those happy eyes as they are carrying that ramp.
That is so wild.
You think it all ends here? No, not even close. It gets weirder, much weirder. When playing a different map, the seeker has noticed that it can use a ramp to climb on the top of a box, and this happens. Do you think couch surfing is cool? Give me a break.
Oh my god.
Box surfing. And the scientists were quite surprised by this move, as this was one of the first cases where the seeker AI seems to have broken the game.
Ooh.
What happens here is that the physics system is coded in a way that they are able to move around by exerting force on themselves, but there is no additional check whether they are...
Anyway, guys, I really suggest that people actually watch the entire kind of video. It's just...
That is bloody tight. That is bloody solid. Do you want to break down what is essentially happening? Like, what the point this video makes?
Yeah, so it's learning in... like a system of evolution, right? So like the human system of evolution, where we are here today because of a lot of our ancestors who've probably got the wrong genes, right? Maybe there's an ancestor of ours was really slow and that got eaten by a tiger. So we got genes to go a little bit faster. That's not exactly how it works, but the idea of evolution in the past, human evolution, and the way AI is being trained to evolve, it's pretty much the same thing. And the thing is, you look at jobs, right, for a second. I started all of this with the idea that jobs are going to go extinct. And here's why. Most jobs in the world today are, there are two kinds of jobs. There's like the blue collar jobs, and then there's the white collar jobs. Firstly, there are the menial jobs, right? Somebody who's doing your Swiggy delivery, etc. And then there's the jobs of people who are smart, right? People who can create content or people who can do data entry. Why do you think AI can't beat them at that? And the day I got convinced was when AI beat some of the best players in the world at Dota. Dota is not a single player job. Dota is a 5-player team versus team. And they absolutely shredded this top tier team. And I was just like, wow, I've been playing Dota for 10 years and I can't beat AI at this. I can't beat AI at the game anymore. Right? And people in chess have been saying this forever. They're like, it's so strong. But with chess, I was like, oh, single the dimensions are not too much. But when it beat Dota, and Dota is, in my opinion, there are very few jobs in India or in the world which are more complicated than Dota. More open-ended, but complicated, no chance. Right, so when it beat those players, I was just like, yeah, this is the end. So step one is losing jobs disappear. Right, and AI is able to do everything. There'll still be a certain number of jobs. There'll be like jobs like masseuse therapists or massage therapists. Right, but look at the number, right? Look at the number of people who lose their jobs to self-driving cars.
Hmm.
Number of drivers, number of Uber drivers.
For
versus
sure.
the number of new massage therapists created.
Right.
Right? So, yeah, jobs are going to go. And I've been quite vocal about this. And it will pan out pretty much the way I think it will pan out. Because there's no other... I've thought about what are the other options. The other options, obviously, we kill ourselves and stuff. So, I'm not taking the existential mortality... inducing
the other option is phew, or to koi option hi nahi hai, huh?
Yeah, so then jobs disappear, then you say what do I do in the world,
right?
What happens when jobs disappear? The thing is, somebody's going to profit off jobs disappearing, whether you believe it or not.
Of course
somebody's going to profit off jobs disappearing. And you might say, no, that's not possible, why would people want jobs to disappear? Actually they do. I mean, when I build software, I'm trying
to replace humans
in a crude way, right? Like your entire government would be like, yeah, crazy, you're replacing jobs, you're a fantastic person, whatever. Or not replacing jobs, but you're building new technology. But technically what they don't realize is, they say, oh, he's creating employment. But the truth is, when I build SaaS software or whatever, I'm stealing employment.
Right.
In a way.
Right.
Right. In fact, and the new employment that I create would be only be a fraction of the old employment.
Right.
Right. So it's not going to match up. And I believe at that point, humans don't need jobs. Humans... the government will figure out a way to give everyone basics. They have to. Your food. Or there'll be war. And whoever promises to give people the basics will win. Then you get food.
And so the transition is going to be that rough, huh? I'm sorry to
it's
interrupt.
It's going to be rough.
It's going to be like one day we just wake up and there's no jobs.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. It's not going to be one day. It's going to be over time. And people... and coronavirus just accelerated all of this. Right? There's going to be this sense of violence... not sense of violence, it's going to be violence, because the poor people are just going to realize what prevents us from picking up sticks, because there are 100,000 of us unemployed and there's like five people sitting at that tower who have all of the resources. Why not pick up sticks and burn it to the ground? Right? So yeah, you're in that situation. And at that point, I feel governments, just for stability, and humans in general for stability, firstly, we'll break up into smaller fractions,
right.
100,000, 50,000 fractions. And go our own ways. And then when we break up into these fractions and go our own ways, we are going to set up our own kind of structures and systems. We'll all have, because we'll use technology to build our own sort of small tribes and villages, like digital villages, right? And for example, we'll steal power from the sun, I mean with solar. We will make sure everybody gets a 3D printed house, stuff like that. So everybody's basics will be sorted, and then I think humans are just going to play games.
Here is my concern. It's a favorable concern. Like, I don't think people understand how recent what we take for granted is. That there's going to be jobs, there's going to be stable economy, a stable government, nobody's going to be at war with each other. Pakistan and India only bark at each other. They never really go to war. Right? People don't understand how recent that jobs for money, you know, like working like a fixed time to get your reward for the day for your survival. Like, all of this is extremely recent, right? And so it is prone to massive and very quick erosion.
True.
And it looks like technology with an AI that solves whatever problem you put in front of it, and then probably becomes a niche AI for solving that problem, the one that learns itself way faster than we do, is going to be extremely, because the fabric of society is culture only after it is economics.
True.
You know what I mean? Like, you can be whatever culture, you can be India, surrounded by imaginary lines and water bodies, but at the end of the day, it's the economy, the fact that money flows through a central system. There is, you know, and that is going to change. I've even heard about you know Ben Godzill, right? You've heard of the name Ben Godzill. It's been a very long time since I heard him talk, but I remember when he was talking about like a app store for AIs, where AIs trade favors with each other to get jobs done. So like your niche accounting AI might go to a tax AI and be like, hey, do this job for me, and they're going to trade in whatever currency they're going to trade in. Does that sound like sensible? Does that sound like possible?
I haven't really thought about, you know, a track like that, but the thing is, you also have to understand, AIs don't voluntarily do anything. They have to be programmed to do something. So if somebody, and that's what I think, right? Like, I think Naval said this, where you build an AI, the first thing the AI is going to do, I mean, the people who are building AI right now, eventually they'll pivot into companies that are just trying to game the stock market.
Right.
They're like, read the best signals first and make the right decision.
Right. Kyunki raste mein there is another trench which is get rich fast.
Yes. Because if you get rich fast, then, I mean, that's the shareholder value. And it's starting to bother me now. Like, I've started to get to a point now where, you know, I've been spending a lot of time with both, you know, my community as well as, you know, people who've been there, made it, the VCs, etc. Those guys, they're just completely, they couldn't care less what happens. They just, their incentive is money.
Mm.
There's no secondary incentive that making an impact or whatever. Those are too untangible.
You think anybody cares about making an impact in the long run?
Yeah, of course.
You think there's plenty like...
I do, for example. Like, no. My goal is not money. Like, uh-huh. Money is a good side effect. I would like money.
Hmm.
And it is necessary to do a lot of things that I want to do. But my goal is to build a city, dude.
Hmm.
And this is because of how I'm wired.
Hmm.
Right? I'm wired to lead a tribe.
Hmm.
If I was born in the 1600s or 1500s, I would be a warlord.
Mm.
I would probably died in battle by my 22nd birthday.
Mm. Very, very beautiful picture you paint right there. I can imagine you running shirtless like a Mad Max kind of a thing through the desert with a spear in your hand.
Have you ever like seen like any of those war biopics? They're really cool. You know why? It's like
The ones with like Gerard Butler and all those guys like from olden times.
Much older.
Achha.
Think about this. I'm talking more like, let's take you all the way back to feudal wars.
Huh.
Okay.
Hmm.
You're holding a sword. Hmm. You're this soldier. Okay. You're holding a sword. Here's how the war starts. Somebody blows a trumpet on this side. Somebody blows a trumpet on that side. So you run.
Okay? Right.
You're running with a sword. And usually it's like series of one-on-one battles.
Huh.
So one guy comes up. Okay. And now you like do whatever.
Right.
Suppose you win.
Huh.
You win.
Right.
That guy dies.
Huh.
You pull out your sword. Then you go to the next one.
Huh.
Okay. And you have to go through maybe 100 people to survive.
Right.
If you're on the front line, there's zero chance you'll survive.
Hmm. Of course.
And you will not survive.
Statistically zero.
Yeah. So, huh. And just, it's just, I ask myself, what pushes people to go that far? Because you are walking into battle knowing you're going to die.
Huh.
That's because for them, from the minute they're born, they have been told, warriors have been told, that their responsibility is to die for the country.
Or for whatever cause. Huh.
Yeah, for whatever cause.
Right.
Country,
tribe,
religion,
people,
etc.
Right, family, yes.
Whatever.
Hmm.
And you know what? That activates a version or part of their brain that really makes them want to win.
Hmm.
Or try to win for their country. For them, death is that ultimate salvation.
Hmm.
Right? And so that's why I'm saying this goal that money has to be, you know, the main thing, whatever. I think there's a lot of Indian parent programming,
hmm.
to be honest.
Hmm.
Or whatever, watching
economic
TV, like
trauma.
Hollywood movies.
I say it's economic trauma.
Maybe it's 2008 and people have... Obviously, once you go through coronavirus, now everyone's going to hand sanitize, wear the mask, even 5 years later,
huh.
right? When COVID's a little less impactful. So yeah, people, it's their behavior, but it's also Hollywood movies, man. Look at how Hollywood movies have fucking glorified making money.
Right.
They're just like, wow, I walked away with $1 million. I walked away with $5 million. Whatever.
You don't think there is anything inherently charming about making money?
No.
There's nothing inherently charming about it. Hmm.
See, I look at money like shiny coins.
It is shiny coins.
Huh? Yeah, but my brain is not so primitive, right? My brain is not just going to say, oh, these are shiny coins. I want
right.
shiny
mm-hmm.
coins.
Mm-hmm.
And plenty of people in India and people I know, people across the world,
hmm.
their goal is just, I want shiny coins.
Shiny coin. Shiny coin, shiny coin means sex, shiny coin. It's
yes.
Basically, that is pretty much it. And to that extent, money making is fantastic for a lot of people. It becomes a goal and it stays on because the standards of money you should hit is $1 billion, apparently. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do with that money is never really
I think
a question.
Becoming a billionaire is a lot about luck. Like becoming a millionaire, I can understand. There's a lot of, I mean, the chance of you becoming a millionaire if you work really hard is there.
Hmm, right.
Just work really, really hard, get the information from the right sources there. Becoming a billionaire is a lot to do with luck.
Hmm.
It's about you take a gamble on the market, okay, with
hmm.
your life,
hmm.
10 years of your life. If it works, you become a billionaire. If it doesn't work, nobody knows your name.
Hmm.
So survivorship bias we have of all the winners. Are just
right.
Saying these guys are, you know, the most.
Huh. I follow you.
It's
I follow
lot of
you.
Luck.
So in this, let us play with this, and we've played with this before, you and I, right? Where we get into this zone, or I wonder if it is better to start thinking about what happens in the immediate 5, 10, 15 year period too. Take it either way. But my question is with this disintegration of a nation, this breaking apart of an earlier sense of community. How does money operate there?
Money binds us together. Money is the story. It's not, you think the story that binds us together is the story of India, the story of everything that's happened in the past in India, the freedom fight. It's not. It's money. Throw money out of the window, you'll see chaos. Like, you try to spin whatever story you want. You try to do the Rio Chakravarti drama on TV, whatever. Right now, the economy is still holding up to a certain extent. You break that, you do whatever nonsense drama you want on TV when people are too hungry to... I mean, when you have like zero meals a day, that's when you'll see the real reason money is important. Because it's not like you don't have the resources at that point. There's still, you know, flour mills going away and creating flour, right? There's still agriculture going on. It's just without money, the distribution stops. Without that story, the distribution stops. Like without the Avalon story, the community won't come together, right? On our Discord server. So the story is very important. Right. Money is the story. It's the greatest story ever told.
That now that the coins are not shiny, imagine they are shiny. That is the story, right? Like in a way. But you know how we were talking about this earlier as well. And I mean, you'd suggested this to me. The fact that sort of there is an early mover advantage. Or not even that, but there is a need sort of in the future where pseudonyms work better than real names, right? Where it is almost, it's the smart thing to do right now is hide your real name as you go on the internet now, right? And it was not this way originally. Originally, it was all about you wanting a verified Facebook profile. Even still, there is all this need for a verified Instagram or a Twitter profile. And back in the day, it would ask you all your like private, and you'd be happy putting in, I'm an Aquarius, right? Like all that silly, stupid stuff about you that is so personal, so nuanced, so meaningless. What is this radical double flip that we're making on the other side?
Some people think it's privacy or whatever. I don't think that's true. I mean, I don't think people are that concerned about their privacy.
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't give a shit what, like, who sees what porn I watch. Like, you know what I mean?
Correct. So maybe the people who really care about privacy are really insecure or up to like really bad things in life.
Right.
But I think the bigger issue with revealing your real name on the internet is as you get bigger, it's not an issue till you get big. When you get big, right? And I've been thinking, I have like what 100 and something K followers on Instagram,
right?
And I've constantly thought about the fact that do I need any more? And the answer always, like, I cannot think of a reason why I would need more. Avalon's kicked in, like, I was the fire spark that kicked off the Avalon fire. Now it's running on its own,
right?
People are joining on their own. I don't need to do anything particularly on Instagram to make that grow. Because as you grow, as you get to 500K, 1000, whatever, firstly, those are just status games. Okay, and anybody playing those games, eventually there is downfall waiting for them. Right? There is 100% downfall waiting for them. Plus, when you get big, it becomes cool for somebody to throw darts at you. Like my wife, okay, in her office once.
Somebody is throwing darts at you?
Yeah, throwing darts
really?
At me. So
they're messing in the wrong.
I mean, they didn't know. At that point, we were still dating.
Right.
With some new employee or something. He was watching a video of mine and he was like, hey, this guy doesn't know anything. And this is a guy who's working as an intern who's like 17 years old or whatever, watching my video, God knows why.
Right.
And shitting on me. Because what I've realized, and this is a kind of a fact as well, when you're just in the lowest position of power, and if you read the 48 Laws of Power also, you'll kind of understand this. The easiest way to gain any sort of notoriety, you're really low, is to pick a specific target, like a human or a company, right? And throw darts at them. Sometimes the company doesn't work as well, but if you take a human and throw darts at them, like a particular name, it works really well for you. Right? So as you grow, what will happen is it becomes easy for you to become a punching bag.
You're a bigger target. So you're an easier target.
So people project their fears, their anxieties, everything. And the thing is, everything you say will come under the scanner. So when Varun Maya says something, if I say, well, all jobs are going to be taken as Varun Maya, people are going to be like, oh, look at this person saying all these things. And then if they lost their job, they'll be like, it's this guy's fault. Right? Whereas if the Lightning Emperor says it, I could always be like, it's humor. Lightning Emperor is a fake fictional character. What are you going to do?
What you going to do about it?
Right? So I found it easier to deal with the world as a content creator as the Lightning Emperor. Varun Maya is a boring old CEO who has
pretty boring, huh?
Yeah, and we, there are some thoughts that I have and Varun Maya has, which are
common,
and which are also different. And we are allowed to have different thoughts. That's the cool part. So now on the internet, what there's this thing, right? Which what you say is what you mean. That's the going trend on the internet. If you say something, that means you mean it. You say, "Damn, I'm going to kill that guy." You don't really mean it, right? It's just like whatever.
Right.
But on the internet, if you say, "Damn, I'm going to kill that guy," you'll get a murder charge.
Right.
Right. So, with the Lightning Emperor, I'm able to distance myself. I'll be like, if the Lightning Emperor says something, I'll be like, "Hey, you, as Varun, and I, as Varun, I can go and say, well, the Lightning Emperor said it. I don't mean it.
Right.
He said it. He might mean it. I don't know, but I don't mean it."
Right. Right. But is this, has this got something to do with like, it, in a very weird sense, I would trust an anonymous information source on the internet right now over somebody. Like, if a journalist is saying falana, falana, falana happened at the India-China border versus if an anonymous account with enough credibility to back it, my instinct is to trust the anonymous account. Because it is sort of like when all skin in the game is removed, you sort of become less likely to be corrupted.
Not true. I mean, you can still want all cloud. Those things. Fame, cloud, power, anonymously.
Because, yeah, hai nahi, there was this guy, no, what was his name? Slate Coder X. That he got ousted in somewhere in San Fran. He used to write. You never heard?
No.
Big guy. He was very popular in these VC circles and whatnot. Tech guy. And he used to write a blog. Slate Coder X, something of that nature, right? I'm forgetting his name. And nobody knew who he was or what he really did. He just wrote this blog, this email subscription or something, very popular with all these guys in San Fran. And then the New York Times really did a docs thing on him where they... Meri dawai ka time ho gaya, where they did something of the nature of... They revealed his name. And then he said that, "I don't feel safe anymore. I don't feel safe putting my opinions out anymore." And he vanished, almost as if to say ki meri anonymity protected my credibility. You know what I mean?
That's true. You remember that, what's that guy's name? The Bitcoin guy, Satoshi Nakamoto. Same. I mean, he exemplifies somebody who wanted... I mean, I still can't tell what he wanted, or, you know, whether he wanted anything or whether it's a team of people. We don't know.
Right.
That's the cool thing about anonymous accounts.
Mm.
Right? You can grow, you can do whatever you want. It's a form of personal protection.
Mm.
You can still... want to play the status games, capital games, whatever games you want to play, you can play. That doesn't, this doesn't detract you. But it protects you from being doxxed. It protects you and your wife and children, whatever, from you know, people slurring at you, whatever. So it's just, it protects you as an individual. Why does Batman wear the mask? Right? To protect those he loves and himself, his own personal identity.
Right. Tell me about crypto. Where do you see that landing? Do you see in this future with this new internet future, this digital future that we are imagining, does crypto have place?
I think every tribe or every community is eventually going to have its own crypto or at least virtual currency. We did an experiment on this. Okay. 30,000 transactions. I think it's right now, this month it's 22,000. Obviously, the month is halfway done or two-thirds done. Last month was 30,000 transactions. Every community is going to have its own currency. That's my belief. And it'll have a translation between that currency to central Bitcoin or central Ethereum or central USD or whatever.
You don't see a point in the way...
It's definitely going to be the future.
Huh.
And you might ask, what is the point of each... You know, this thing have its own, having its own currency? It's because that money will get used in certain ways. Right, and cryptos—it's PayPal just got into crypto, right? Like I think a few weeks ago. The reason that they're getting into crypto and everyone's getting into crypto—I think Square bought 300 million or something of worth of crypto, 300 million or 50 million or something like that, 500 million if I'm not wrong, of crypto. It's because they're all gearing up. They're gearing up for crypto transactions, and crypto is getting stronger as governments get weaker. That's the general rule. So, because see, if suppose there's war in your city, in your country. And the governments are whatever throwing stones at each other. Whether the rupee is going to fall, the rupee is going to be completely useless. Crypto will buffer you against that loss. That's what gold is also supposed to be.
Right.
Because it's still tradable on more stable countries, ecosystems, etc.
Right. You don't think there is any like there is no way we can legally or otherwise try and hold crypto off with that. It's just going to be that same wave of technology, much like general AI might be, or like niche, narrow AI might be. Huh? Koi chance nahi.
Although I'm not fully convinced the blockchain is specifically needed in all use cases. The blockchain, it's good as a... If the community is not centralized, I think that's where blockchain really shines, when the community is decentralized, when there's no one leader. But I'll tell you one thing. I've not seen a single community till now, like a good community, that doesn't have actual leaders. Without actual leaders, it's just chaos. Community is a headless chicken. Right? So certain things, I think, like social media and stuff, you need a very strong leader to make it.
Right.
And then decentralize it and push it off and say, I'm not, you know, I don't want any long-term things apart from just this thing to work.
Right. Very interesting. Huh, you're right. I don't think people self-organize as well without a central
role. They don't do it. Hmm. They don't do it. They do not do it. Humans are... We always look up to leader figures. And some of us are wired to be leaders. And
that's not unfair? That's not unfair?
I mean, mostly based on how your neurotransmission works. It's mostly based on your genetics. There's a little bit of exposure involved in being a leader, and obviously I still can't tell. I know the fact that everybody's creative, and people like Jordan Peterson disagree with me, saying that not everyone's creative. I disagree. I think everyone's creative given enough exposure, given enough, and I have the sample size. I have a way larger sample size than Jordan Peterson does. Right? Because I have an actual app where people learn and get to be creative, etc. And we actually push them into being creative.
Right.
First test if they're creative and then everything else.
Right.
But leaders, I don't think everyone's born to be a leader. I think that's either genes or I don't know what it is. I haven't done enough. I don't want to jump to conclusions.
But tell me about creativity. What do you mean that everybody is creative? Like what is this creative? What is this creative bug?
Yeah, creativity is the... It's so easy because, or rather, everyone can do it because it's ingrained in us. Creativity is the ability to make mistakes. You make small, minor, subtle mistakes in something that's otherwise good. That's called creativity. Like when Chopin, the famous pianist, the way he describes, and there's this passage about how he describes how he learned, he listens to the greats. In the beginning, he copies some of it. And as he gets better, he knows the progressions that sound good. He knows, okay, this A to B to E sounds really good, that progression. And then he's like, okay, you know what? I'll do the A to B to E, but instead of B, I'll do C. And I'll see how that sounds. Sometimes it's jarring. He'll be like, oh, this is just really bad. Okay. And sometimes to figure out what is creative and what is a mistake, you need an audience. You need a market.
You need feedback.
Yeah, you need feedback.
Right.
And that's why entrepreneurship is so difficult, right? Because entrepreneurship is, you have to make small mistakes or large mistakes. And dude, look at Snapchat. Snapchat got shat on for so many years. And today you've heard of this company called Quibi, right?
No, I've never heard of Quibi. What does Quibi do?
They shut down. They raised like billions of dollars and they shut down, right? They were trying to do something with like vertical video and stuff.
Achha.
And people are shitting on them on Twitter. But my thing is like, well, you know what? If Snapchat had failed, you guys would have said the same thing. But Snapchat worked, and that's why all of you guys are quiet.
Is there survivorship bias there? The fact that Snapchat just survived?
No, it's not about Snapchat surviving or these guys dying. It's about the fact that you can't... When you make a mistake, sometimes the audience also can't tell whether it's a mistake or it's something truly genius. Right? Like, for example, when I did Digital Maya, I did this 3D character.
Yeah, we've been on the show before.
Yeah, so when I did that, it was not... Because it wasn't a mistake. I wasn't making any mistakes. I knew exactly what I needed to do. I had the documentation. There were four different things. I just had to synthesize them. I had to put them together. So just because that hadn't been put together in a live fashion in India, it was unique. It was new. It's never been done before. But if you look at how general creativity works, like when I wrote Pajama Profit, there was a little bit of creativity, right? Because when I wrote the book, each word or each sentence that I put in the book was like, in a way, it is a function of what's going on in my brain, which are things that people have told me, which are things that I've learned. And then I try to, you know, tweak it and make a few mistakes and put it out there for the audience to judge.
Right.
And there are plenty of things we've done on the Avalon Discord server where we thought this will work, but it doesn't work. Right. So sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. That is creativity.
Right. And so everybody has the mistake-making ability.
Yes.
But in the direction of originality, in the direction of usefulness.
Originality is making mistakes.
Originality is making mistakes.
Yeah, it's like making tiny mistakes. See, it's not making a mistake of the entire thing. It's like, here's the thing we know works.
Right.
Okay, let's take something we know works. Let's take the news format.
Right.
We know the news format works. If you do news, you'll get some amount of viewers.
Right.
So we'll take the news format and we'll tweak, say, the anchor. We'll make the anchor louder. We'll make a debate plus news. We'll combine the two. So it's a lot of tweaking, which sometimes it could end up in utter shit. Sometimes it end up in something that works.
Right.
And that's why I feel like all the social media platforms right now, they're also learning from each other. But in general, they've reached where they've reached because they have just gone through a lot of iterations of mistake making to now know perfectly how to jack your dopamine.
It's like opening a fridge, bro. Instagram khulna is like opening your fridge for the nth time in the day to discover ki kuch naya nahi hai. The feeling is exactly that. Us din main soch raha tha. I was like, fridge khol raha hoon main. Why am I here? You know what I mean?
I turned off Instagram notifications, by the way.
Oh, mine. I have no notifications. Phone's always in D&D. But what notifications do you mean? Like on the screen? Screen pe to I never have them on.
Yeah, the thing is, Instagram is smart, dude. Like if I haven't used Instagram in like 3 days, they will send me so many notifications. They'll be like, this person posted this person did this. I'm like, I don't want you to tell me anything. I will decide when I use your platform. So you can have mastery over social media by turning off notifications. Like that is the way to beat social media. You still need social media. Otherwise, your career is not going to progress.
Right.
Yeah, you need it for business.
Right.
You need it because it's a discovery platform. And, you know, I have the balls to sit and delete my LinkedIn. Right. I could just delete my LinkedIn and just say, yeah, whatever. But not many other people can do that.
Right.
So I don't recommend that, but turn off your notifications. That's somewhere in between.
The other interesting phenomena is that about 10 years ago when Instagram came about, 2010 or so, it started becoming big and whatnot. We were so interested in putting up our pictures. Then we were so interested in putting up our pictures with filters. Then we were so interested in putting up our pictures without filters. And now with this impending threat of a deepfake or anything of that nature, I don't want my fucking face online. That does not, well...
That's not true for everyone, Prakar. I'll tell you, you and me have the unique position to be able to say this. Unique position to be able to do this, ki hame social media nahi chahiye, I don't want to put up pictures. I will be whatever, AFK. But imagine somebody who has no brand, who has no credibility, no followers, no community. That person never going to get hired, by the way. So difficult because the... Like, I'll give you an example. I asked people who's the best coder in India. Okay. And I got thousands of DMs. And there was this one guy whose name consistently kept popping up. And I spoke to the guy and, you know, we closed something. But it's not necessarily that this person is the best at his craft. Not the necessarily the best coder in India. It's just people have heard of his name. That's all. The most famous. So even Robert Kiyosaki says that, right? Not that I'm a big fan of how Robert Kiyosaki does things, but he's not the best writing author. He's a best-selling author, right? So to do that, to be known and is equivalent to getting opportunities. So if you are not known, yeah, sure, you'll survive the privacy, blah, 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 yada, yada, but you'll make no money.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I mean, I understand the whole idea of me having... I just mean in the sense of not, yaar, ab to privacy ka aisa bhi nahi hai na, somebody slightly knocking on the door of your privacy. With deepfake, my face could end up on porn. It would not look pretty, but you realize like the possibility is pretty extreme. We are moving into digital chaos. Does that make sense?
Of course it does. It's, just give me 1 second.
Yep.
I'm trying to show you something.
Matlab ki, we've just evolved to a place where we are doing serious stuff online and we are already in a place where it's being threatened, where it may not transpire, where it might not work.
True.
Right? Kyunki flooding ho jayegi. There's going to be flooding of everything XYZ. It's Twitter's already chaos. None of the conversations on Twitter make sense. Very rarely, right? Like,
sorry, I'm trying to look for something, but I couldn't find it. I actually wanted to deepfake live.
Hmm.
So do you know I have that tech?
No. How do you do that?
Dude, it's incredible. You need to keep them engaged for a bit while I find it.
Chalo, theek hai. Tu you can do it. Mute my mic while you're figuring it out. Chat. अभी तक तुम चिड़चिड़ 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 कर रहे हो कि हम तुमसे बात नहीं कर रहे. आओ हमसे बात करो, बोलो तुम्हारे क्या सवाल है. एक भाई ने बहुत पहले सवाल पूछा था, वो सवाल ये था कि आप थकते नहीं हो. नहीं थकते भाई, नहीं थकते. बट नहीं, somebody was asking if everybody knows how to code and they can manipulate the internet in whatever little way, isn't that dangerous? No, you can manipulate the internet already right now and it is as dangerous as, I mean, it gets more dangerous, but हाँ, it's not like वो सब टेररिस्ट बन गए. समझ रहे हो? समझ जाओ, यू अंडरस्टैंड. हाँ, बादल लाइक करवा दे सबसे. बोल, सारे लोग लाइक करेंगे. एवरीबडी इज गोइंग टू लाइक. वेरी गुड, वेरी गुड. हम लोग
ऑलमोस्ट देयर,
ऑलमोस्ट देयर. हम लोग अभी डीप फेक करने वाले हैं. पोर्नोग्राफी नहीं, डोंट गेट कंफ्यूज्ड, दैट्स नॉट व्हाट वी गोना डू. Can we build AI without losing control? I did a podcast about this also on PG Radio recently. You might want to check it out, Wendell Wallach. But we'll also ask this question to Varun. Oh, kapde utar ke, who are you? Guys working. I'm sure your face will end up there. Mera bachpan ka sapna hai, badal ye terko pata nahi hai. Shalopi in the chat. Sare log Shalopi, haan.
Who would you want on?
Who would I want on?
Yeah,
Joe Rogan
would be really nice to have on.
Joe Rogan.
Can you enable screen sharing?
Of course. Oh, I'm not sure how that would go on. Chal, theek hai, do it. I'll figure it out.
You can just make me host. I think that would work.
No, I've enabled screen sharing, bro. Screen share enabled kar diya maine.
Okay. What if this offends a few people though?
What offends what?
I mean, there's the chance that people will get offended, right?
About what?
About like me deep faking or something.
No, who the hell gets offended?
I mean, some people do.
Really? What kind of losers? No, we don't care about people getting offended. Chalna.
Dude, a lot of people get offended.
Acha? For real? And in any case, the Lightning Emperor disappears after the lightning is done.
Okay.
Huh.
Do you see my screen?
I see your screen. That's Eminem?
Yeah, hang on.
Huh.
Okay. My God, it's not... For some reason, it's not calibrated well today.
Huh. Damn, that's scary. Hold up.
No, it's like... Oh, sorry.
That brief moment, huh?
Apologies, guys.
That brief moment where all funding seemed to disappear.
So this is Naval. Dude, I have no idea why it's not calibrating perfectly. Probably have to reset.
Achha, it's also not changing screens. Wait, hold up.
Yeah, are you able to see it now?
Nahin yaar, pata nahin, for some reason my OBS is not catching this. My OBS is being a little bit icky about it. For some reason, my OBS does not take screen share.
Screw it. I'm going to stop that right now. If you guys want actual videos where I've set the tech up and et cetera, then you
have to figure this out. That's so weird.
No, it's because I need to be exactly in the frame while I set it.
No. For my OBS, as soon as I do screen shares on this, no, it disappears. On my OBS, it hangs. It does not work properly. Chat, tumhe pata hai kya hota hai? Koi baat nahi. Hum wapas aage, rona band karo. Hota rehta hai.
One second.
Haan. No problem. हाँ, Varun's going to try and do it on his camera maybe. Kernel restart क्या होता है? Kernel restart मेरे को भी समझाओ. Because अरे screen share तो मेरे को दिख जाता है, but मेरे को तुम्हें नहीं. वो zoom उस OBS पे नहीं जाता for some reason. ये problem है. क्या देखेगा अनुभव भाई, दिखा दो भाई. क्या दिखाऊं? अबे अच्छा अभी तुम्हें कुछ नहीं दिख रहा क्या? हाँ अब तुम्हें दिख रहा होगा। हाँ फिर ठीक है अब आ गया ना। नाउ यू कैन सी अस। चैट ओपी कर दो इफ यू कैन सी अस, ओपी कर दो। बीच में सिर्फ मैंने ओ माई गॉड ब्रो ऐसे। व्हाई डोंट यू स्ट्रीम लाइक दिस? दिस इज सो मच बेटर, सो मच मोर प्लीजिंग।
कूल। आई मीन आई हैव अ नाइस लिटिल,
व्हाट डू यू कॉल दिस वन?
Anime
Batman
Lightning Emperor.
Anime Lightning Emperor. It keeps getting longer. Keeps getting longer. It's pretty dope. How does this work?
Snapcam. There's this tech called Snapcam which allows you to use Snapchat filters on your PC and then I feed into OBS and then that magic is, happens.
That's bloody brilliant, man. That's a lot of bloody brilliant.
That's what I'm telling you, you know, world is strange. Like I alone can produce the content that an entire studio would be able to produce. And in like very little time. The only thing is I have other things to do.
Right.
And I do not want to be so public. So I guess that's the eventual goal.
So why is your face changing like as you move up and down? Like it's a little bit like it's...
Oh, that's because of the lighting.
It's merging between two or three faces, it feels like. Sometimes your eyes are different, sometimes your eyes are different.
It's because of the lighting, dude. And obviously, I have this on top, like this headphone, right, which is broken. And yeah, so just deal with it.
Interesting. But otherwise,
it's okay.
It's very interesting. And why is it you just anime Lightning Emperor likes Batman too much? This looks like one of those lo-fi wale videos hote na isme lo-fi music chalta hai. This is ladki homework kar rahi hai.
It's not very difficult to do. I mean, compared to the Avatarify stuff or Digital Maya, which Digital Maya took me like 4 weeks. This will take you like 5 seconds to do. If you can download OBS, throw in a background, open Snapcam, I can do some really funny stuff too. Hang on. Yeah.
But oh my god, acha tera chehra bhi change ho gaya. I was like, wait a second.
Yeah, this is baby version of me. This is baby Lightning Emperor.
Haan, baby Lightning Emperor. Bachpan se. Bachpan.
So it's weird.
What else you got? What else? Oh my god, see now this is dope.
Yeah. This is... People keep saying I'm not that funny. So I guess if I wanted to be funny, this is what I look like. Except I have the entire goggles on, okay?
Right.
What else?
People really tell you you're not funny? Is that for real?
Yeah, for real.
Who the hell tells somebody else they're not funny? That's a very mean thing to say.
Yeah.
Your wife tells you that?
No.
No, she tells you you're funny.
Usually my friends.
Achha, theek hai. Because she has to, yeah. She's legally bound to tell you you're funny.
Yeah, so we'll stick to this.
This one? You like this one?
Why does it say Canva? It's not supposed. That's free branding, and that was unexpected in my.
Very nice.
I have no idea.
Where are we now? What is this universe? You know what the funny thing is? This reminds me of a dystopic like future virtual reality like. कोड में कुछ खराबी आ गई एंड नाउ माय थिंग्स आर चेंजिंग अराउंड मी सो क्विकली ऐसा कुछ दिखता है. यू नो व्हाट आई मीन?
या बट सी हियर इज द थिंग ओके इन लाइक 5 years आई डोंट थिंक वी विल यूज आवर रियल फेसेस एंड आइडेंटिटीज. द थिंग इज आवर रियल फेसेस एंड आइडेंटिटीज आर नॉट गुड इनफ एंड वी कांट चेंज इट ऑफन. आई लव वीआर चैट फॉर दिस रीजन. आई कैन बी गोकू इन वीआर चैट व्हेनेवर आई वांट टू. आई कैन बी स्पाइडरमैन इफ आई वांट टू. यू शुड सी सम ऑफ द वीआर चैट वीडियोस दैट वी हैड पुट अप. It's on my old YouTube
but
channel.
Why would I want, like, the point is, theek hai, I can be Goku, but it's not really like I'm Goku. You know what I mean?
No, it is.
I don't feel inside that I'm Goku.
I feel inside that I'm Goku. Whenever I'm in VR chat and I'm playing the Goku avatar, I can do everything from the Kamehameha to the way I walk. I change it all based on what I watched. That's why two things are never going to disappear. Entertainment, you will always need to be entertained in some way, form or the other. And some of that has to be fictional entertainment. It has to be storytelling. I'll tell you why. You can't just draw a new anime character and say, oh, this guy has these powers, does this. I need to like the character. I need to be really interested in the character. And to do that, I'm sorry.
My God, man. Yeah. So this works.
Yeah, this is, I'm going back to Prakhar ke Pravachan time.
This is Prakhar ke Pravachan time. This is coming into the past, huh?
Yeah, so, What is I saying?
Nahin, so you really feel when you're in matlab the point is I'm still not doing a real kamehameha of any like outcome, koi significance.
But I am. And dude, for example, I watched Naruto recently again with my wife. And the way the characters behave, the way they fight, you know, some of the systems in which they fight, it's exactly the same as Dota. Like I felt that, like when you're measuring out an enemy's power, I do that in Dota sometimes. Like I cast a simple spell and see how does he react? What is he doing? So eventually it's going to be in VR, right? Dota is going to be in VR. And if Dota is going to be in VR, it's going to be fantastic. That's why humans shouldn't kill each other.
In real life, so that they can kill each other in video games?
Yeah, that's the solution. I'm telling you, video games are the eventual solution to everything. And most likely, we are in one right now.
We possibly are.
Because it has been spawned either without our knowledge, and we have nothing to do with it, or because of boredom of some higher creatures.
So wait, hold up. You're saying there is God and God created this?
No.
You're saying there is some alien somewhere that is very unlike us and then created this simulation?
There's a small probability of that.
But what is a large probability for? What do you think?
That the universe itself is a computer and just runs all kinds of simulations from scratch.
And why do we live in one simulation only then?
Yeah, and if you don't have human-like consciousness, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Nice.
Somebody said this guy seems really delusional.
Dakar OP.
Interesting.
Somebody said you were delusional?
Achha,
theek hai. Yo, how often do you live stream? You live stream often enough?
You lagged, Prakar. I heard you for like...
I said you live stream often enough?
I do on the Lightning Emperor channel. Like I wanted to. This week has been really rough. Like it's been back-to-back-to-back meetings. I know, on Zoom. And then my wife got COVID.
That has been rough, so, huh? She doing okay?
She's okay. She's getting better.
She's getting better. And you're feeling up or down?
I'm feeling okay. Like today, a little bit low energy. Not sure why. Hopefully not COVID.
When do you plan on getting retested?
I got retested today.
Oh, you got retested again today?
Yeah, my wife tested 2 days ago.
How's the skull? It's like a skull fuck when it goes inside your nose. It's very hard.
Dude, the nose thing is fine. The throat thing is really bad.
The throat thing is really bad too. Both of those. Like, you know, America, they wouldn't do throat. They'd only do nose. So I didn't know. Pata nahi, they'd put it in both nostrils and then they'd slowly move it. I'd be like, bro, slow kyu torture kar raha hai? Jaldi se karke khatam karna. But they'd go slow and they'd be like, don't sneeze. Ulluk patthe, it's right up my nose. Don't say don't sneeze. I will sneeze. That's the last thing you should tell me. But I've been tested like 4 or 5 times at this point. I do it once a month anyway, just to be safe. Right? And it's horrible. But that sucks, man. COVID's really put a full stop. I was thinking of flying out to Bangalore probably next month or so.
Dude, COVID doesn't bother me at all. Like, you just have to adapt, dude. Nobody said that the world is going to be a certain way, right? Nobody said that the world necessarily has to, you know, you have to have all these fun things. We're only upset because...
We expect. Right. And that's where, like, you know, the funny part about talking to you is also this. No, there is a very real element of how the mind works, how it is, or how your body in physical space works and how that transitions into the digital part. So we've discussed all the digital part, but it remains that as soon as your whatever this limited biological senses is expecting, it is bound to get hurt. It is bound to be betrayed in its expectations. And then there is pain, or then there is unhappiness. And then the only thing I miss about, the only thing I have a problem with about COVID is what life used to be back before it started. It is not bad still, but that just ended too abruptly for me, you know, sitting in college, whatnot, all that jazz. Apart from that, it's only been beautiful.
See, not having expectations is fine, okay? Or like if you enter something with the expectation that you're not going to have expectations. But what really hurts is when you don't have expectations, but you have to pretend like you do. And that eventually gives you expectations. Like, for example, you go into college. You're like, I don't give a shit about college. But eventually, because they're making you do assignments, this, that, whatever, you will eventually give a shit about college. Right? People say, I'm just going to do this on the side and then, you know, study something on while I'm doing college. But they don't, because eventually the assignments, et cetera, they drag you in.
Right. Right. So the point is...
That's what I find about life.
Hmm.
Like,
life drags you into expectation.
Yeah, life drags you into having expectations.
Hmm. Right.
There's not much you can do about it.
Right. 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 You know, with as far as live streams are concerned, there is... It's a very interesting thing. I don't know if everybody's taken note of it in the same way that I have. But ye jo live chat feature hai na, this works not in any... It's noise. It's pure and simple noise. Like, there is some real interesting questions, some very genuine people who will ask things and, you know, is good to look at. But for the most part, it is one... The largest, let's say, set of people on live chats are there to actually get to you by... Like, that's the kind of exact... It's an attention loop. It's like, you know, as soon as you mention it, everybody now...
See, we are more attracted to... I mean, all of us.
Hmm.
We react more to negative information than positive information.
Huh.
Right? You can have 1,000 positive compliments, but your eyes will dart to the one negative one, and then you won't sleep because of that one negative guy.
Right.
It's a method to gain attention, to be negative.
Right.
That's the way to gain attention, right? And at the end of the day, what do people want? They want your attention.
And so attention is massively commoditized already. In the new world, what we don't realize is that it's no longer...
Because attention is commoditized, everyone will start hating. And that's why it's already started happening.
Hmm.
Like the stuff that the left is doing in the US, it's fucking ridiculous.
Hmm.
It's exactly the same thing, right? Nobody cares about them. They're useless economically.
Hmm.
They're useless in every form and format. So they scream.
Hmm.
They just scream.
It's noise. Mm.
So it's an attention-seeking mechanism. But they're also ruining the world because of it, no?
Mm.
Because when enough people scream, people think there's a fire.
Right. 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 Hmm. Theek hai. Chat, do you have any questions for the Lightning Emperor? Shoot. Aa jao. Kar lo. Pooch lo. Whatever you want to ask. So you still don't have evening slots available, huh?
Me?
You were going to continue sleeping on time?
Yeah, I'm continuing to sleep on time. And I've just been so busy this week, dude. Like, I've been busy in a way that actually answers one of your questions. The expectation to... I mean, I'll explain it in depth a little later when something solidifies. But it's just fucking annoying, man. It distracts you from everything. Like, you just... Like, I love living this Zen version of life where nothing matters.
Hmm.
But I get dragged into certain things that some things matter.
Hmm.
Tough.
Right. Is this... Are you at liberty to say if it's about the health aspect of things? Or is it something to do with the business?
It's it's mostly to do with business.
Hmm. Achha, theek hai.
To do with biz.
Right. I can imagine, man. I say what you will, it's not... I don't even have to say that. It's extremely difficult running a company of this scale with this bigger community. At the end of the day, one person is one person, and each person has to be sort of touched, moved, you know, if not managed and whatnot. And it's not easy. I understand. But it's also fun in retrospect, right?
Yeah, this I'd becomes rather do a game. This. Yeah, I'd rather do this than just be in catharsis.
For sure. For sure. Somebody's asking what's the least affected jobs by AI in the future.
My suggestion is don't think like that.
Hmm.
It's a shit way to think about things.
Hmm, that's a good point. Say more.
See, what you should be... Firstly, I don't believe in this single track job idea.
Hmm.
Like, you put me in any job, 99% of jobs, maybe there's like 1%, maybe 5% of jobs that I can't do well.
Hmm.
But in most jobs, if you give me enough prep time and enough time to learn, I would be top 1%.
Right.
Without a doubt.
Right.
The same principles apply, right? It's first principles.
Hmm.
Like, yeah, I can distill this, I can understand this, I can put it together, etc., etc. So don't think like that. Just try to be really good. Like, your foundation should be solid, and then you'd probably be able to tackle any job out there.
Hmm.
So think like that instead.
Hmm. Hmm. And you worked with the medical community for a little bit too, right?
I did.
How does AI fit into the medical narrative?
They'll use it for diagnosis.
Diagnosis, huh?
Yeah, probably compound research. A lot of peptide synthesis is happening automatically.
Hmm.
See, there's a lot of places where you will always need doctors, especially in emergencies, because see, imaging the insides of the body are not... Everybody's insides look slightly different.
Right.
And I'm not sure, especially with arteries and blood vessels, veins on the outsides, it's very hard to tell whether, okay, should we puncture this or should we puncture this? But right. a human can say, okay, that looks like an artery, but maybe it's not. Right? So that split second decision making, it's slightly challenging for AI for a few years,
right.
unless it gets a lot of imaging data.
Right.
So.
Right. This and even that, the only constraint is getting enough data. That's also a point in time that will happen then, huh?
But you still need somebody to administer you the tech. You need to put it in the right place, right. et cetera, et cetera. It's not that easy.
Right. Right. Even when you were talking about chess, like chess and AI, 97 IBM versus Kasparov, 98 IBM versus Kasparov. The whole idea is that AI plays chess better in a sense. It makes way less mistakes, positionally, piece-wise. But it still does not understand how, like, poetic chess is played. You know, like, there is puzzles that people have that are very obvious to humans doing those puzzles. But for a computer, it'll glitch. It won't manage it because all it knows is how to solidify position leads to a draw or something of that nature. You know, so there is to that extent where there is what they call sort of a creativity gap that needs to be built, or like this dynamic, volatile nature of work that probably AI will not be able to do because it requires instant human judgment across many.
That's the thing, right? You allow a computer to make mistakes. That's the thing. Like, creativity is not very difficult for a computer. You just allow it to make minor mistakes. And people have learned this now. That's what I'm saying. Like, everything that we said, humans are good at this. And then we're like, okay, maybe not that. This. Like, okay, maybe not that. Okay, at least this. And we've just been shat on.
Right. How's about this whole fantasy about evolving into man-machine? I heard somewhere with Apple no longer wanting to introduce... Like, no longer wanting to sell their chargers and everything with the phone. What they're going for is essentially like this wireless model of smartphone usage. And what that eventually leads to is an integrated model of technology where it's integrated into my biology. How near is that? Does that even make sense? Do you think that's going to happen?
It'll happen at some point, but I'm not like... We all choose our escape pods, right? Elon Musk has chosen the spaceship. You've probably chosen philosophy, right? I don't know. I might be wrong on that one.
It's actually alcohol, bro.
Dude, for some people, that's actually an escape. Like, it is a legitimate escape.
Yeah, homeopathy. Homeopathy is my escape.
Right? But for me, my escape is different. My escape is, I thought I'll merge with a machine and then be happy, yada yada. But the world is fucked, dude.
But then so you had to get married. No longer merging with the machine.
No, I can still do that, but the world is fucked. Instead, I want to just go into this beautiful, lush, green future that is probably in my head or inside of a computer. It's a drive. I want to live
but
out yaar, all my...
But you don't think that Varun is okay. On a neurochemical level, I get whatever feel good I want, and then there is hedonic adaptation. Like, I walk into the perfect sunset. That's what
correct.
I want. Right?
And the computer will adapt and give me all beautiful.
So like, it'll be like a non-stop mental orgasm then.
Yeah, non-stop, and it will know when to give me peace. It will just know, bro. It's like it's like the part of my brain
that knows me better than I do.
So I'll give you an example. So let's assume your brain has these four slots. Okay, where gaps. So this new computing device needs to constantly. And obviously your brain is like in constant motion. So that thing, whatever it is, it adapts.
It has to dance, right?
It has to dance with me.
Right. And so it just keeps you in like the perfect illusion. Yes. Sense me. And you know, the more you describe it, the more it sounds, the more it sounds like this reality. Like you said, no, you get dragged into the expectations of life. That is what I would, that is what it's like. I don't think you'd want perfect happiness. I think what you'd realize that perfect happiness is, listen, I need, this is too boring. This is just plain simple orgasm. I'm just convulsing on the floor.
True.
Right. I need challenge. And at that point you start to come into this loop and that might be the answer. We might have come across it. Like, who created this reality is us. In a time ka loop where we go into the future, where we, so this simulation that needs to dance with me to keep me in some sense level-headed, sane, happy, whatever, satisfied, might begin to resemble how our reality looks like right now, but with more powers possibly.
True.
Right.
And obviously the thing about being in one of these computer systems is you can switch whenever. You can just pull out a remote and say, now I want to be in the in like something that looks like out of Blade Runner, or now I want to be in something that looks out of the Matrix, like it's out of the Matrix. Something I want to be in something like this. See, right now I'm doing it a cheap way with OBS and images.
Right.
But there I'll actually be able to switch reality whenever I feel like.
Right.
And I'm a, like, especially with things like game design and Unreal Engine and stuff, I'm a connoisseur of realities. I like seeing different realities. I like feeling the atmospherics. Like, for example, we have this thing called the Pro Leagues, where we teach people game design. And we're in week four now, and the assignment for week, the last week, was create a horror level. And you should see the atmospherics, right? I want to see the audio. How does that correlate with how the player is walking, right? What are, like, if you look down, what happens? If you look up at the moon, what happens? So it's just, fantastic stuff.
Here is what I was talking to somebody about the other day. I was telling them, we were talking about dreams and like how in a very strange way, dreams are more real than reality. Like if you feel fear in your dreams, God, that fear is more than when I feel it in reality. You know, with sleep paralysis, it's like so vivid, that fear, it's terror, right? And say what you will, once all of it is over, it's like, what the hell just happened? I don't want to feel that terror again, but it's just a novel experience altogether. And sleep paralysis is still like anomalistic. In dreams, a lot of times, experience is more vivid than in reality. Sure. And to me, what you're saying sounds very similar to this. Does that make sense?
It does. And that's why, like, that's why I keep thinking, is this life the perfect solution? Like, if this life is a dream, and if life is a dream and whatever, we get to live one life. Firstly, I don't believe the idea that we get to live one life. I think we get to live multiple lives, but different identities. So it doesn't matter. You can might as well count it as one life.
Right.
So that's why I think this is the solution. We are in the solution. We said, and we need to have constant problems, and our biology is designed in a certain way that something else, alien somewhere whose biology is completely different, who needs completely different things to, you know, be happy. And that happiness itself is limited happiness. We don't know, dude. Like, we are the end result of a lot of evolution, 3.8 billion years of evolution.
Right.
So, like I said, creativity. A lot of mistakes have happened along the way.
Right.
It's in our DNA. But somebody, I mean, especially with intelligent design, if you can put things together on a computer or, you know, with a robot, it's different. Like, you can actually, you design the problems in store. Maybe that's the only switch between how it's happened so far and how it'll happen in the future.
Where I can design my own problems instead.
Exactly.
To some extent, we can still right now.
Yep.
Right? So we are coming full circle in a way.
And someone told me the other day, right? It's like having a social media avatar, having a social media profile in itself is like having a new identity, right?
But there is somebody who's asked a very important question. And you're right on that front. I'll come to the question later rather. You're right. Having a social media personality is like, people don't know me. They know Prakhar ke Pravachan as Prakhar ke Pravachan goes, but there is a person behind it that comes on as soon as the camera goes up. It's not very different. It's not probably very different at all if you hang out with me once, but I have my private life too, you know, and in that limited sense where I've tried the least to separate my online and my offline persona, that is the case. It probably is just only uphill from here in a way. But here's a question. And this is a very real question that people ask about, you know, machine-driven cars or automated cars and whatnot too. Once technology fuses with me, am I not prone to hacking?
What's the question?
If I fuse with technology in a way, if I'm a cyborg of some nature, then am I not prone to hacking?
So I feel the way that it'll work in the future, especially if you decide to become a cyborg. Firstly, you're not hack-proof right now, right? Secondly,
I mean, we are hacked with the virus in a way too, right?
Yeah, in a way, the virus, I mean, it's a little different. In a hacking situation, somebody is manually controlling that, or somebody started the hack. But I feel like this technology should be non-internet based. right? Unless, but obviously if you're doing AI, then it has to be internet based. Maybe you'll have a read permission, but not a write permission. I guess that's the only way to do it. Either way, man, I mean, there's still so much we don't know about the human body.
Right.
Still so much we don't know about computing. A lot of things were accidents.
Right.
That I don't know what the end result cyborg is going to be. I'm not relying on that idea. I'm rather relying on the idea where we just directly...
Virtual.
Yeah, go virtual.
Right. That's your branch of the decision tree in a way.
True.
Right. All right.
And people think all these tech VR and... you know, the whatever, it's like 40, 50 years away. Dude, it's already here. Like you can play VR chat with me right now and it'll be, you can enter my world. I can snap my finger and because I also know Unreal Engine, I can pull you into a world I want. So it's already here. And in 10, 20 years, I can't imagine how crazy the fidelity would be, how crazy the number of creators would be.
Right.
And my role is to create a lot of those creators.
Right. It's like, bro, it's like, aaj kahan adventure pe jana hai? Achha, theek hai, aisa karte hain, hum Hogwarts chalte hain adventure pe. That is now possible. Instead of you going to LA and then going to an amusement park where they put together 8 buildings that look slightly like Hogwarts and sell that kind of crap that you expect in the Harry Potter series, you could actually just go to the world. Or instead of playing a video game on a 2-dimensional screen, you could actually spend 3 days, 4 days as a vacation in Hogwarts. Somebody programmed it well enough. But theek hai, let's cap it. You know, you take care of your health as well. This has been an hour and a half already. This was a good warm up exercise. Huh?
My wife's in isolation and we talk from like,
outside. Bro, I went to the doctor yesterday. The funniest thing, he had this glass door between. He had a mic and a speaker on each side. And he's looking at you from that distance. I'm like, where is the doctor until the light switches on? I'm like, achha.
But you know, society can't function like this, right? There's a lot of things that are physically dependent. Construction, actual medicine, like surgery. People are not getting diagnosed for cancer because of worry of this virus. And I don't know if it's justified or not. I don't think I'm the right person to comment on whether it's justified or not. I need real data and real answers, but everything is propaganda colored.
True. Okay. All right. Varun, the Lightning Emperor, my bad. You can leave. This has been fun.
Who is Varun? I don't know, man.
This Varun is idiot.
I keep
stumbling across his name for some reason. Chal, seeing you.
Awesome. Bye-bye.
All right, bro. I'm going to say bye to the chat and then I'll call you in a bit.
Chalo.
All right, chat. How are you doing? This has been a fun session. This has been an extremely fun session. Mereko pata hai, thoda to tumhe laga hoga ki ho kya gaya. थोड़ा-थोड़ा तो तुम्हें लगा होगा कि हो क्या गया एंड दैट इज़ व्हाई वी आर डूइंग दिस दिस इज़ फॉर यू टू दिस इस कॉन्वर्सेशन का पर्पस ये नहीं है कि द लाइटनिंग एम्परर कितना ठीक है कितना गलत है इस कॉन्वर्सेशन का मतलब ये नहीं है पर्पस कि ये बात कितनी सही है कब होगी क्या होगी कि नहीं होगी इस कॉन्वर्सेशन का पर्पस ये है कि तुम सुन के समझो कि सोचा कैसे जाता है चीज़ों के बारे में हाउ डू पीपल कंस्ट्रक्ट a tangible, a solid, a backable, an evidenced view of what the future might look like. Because the only people who win in the long run are the people who look to the future. Samajh rahe ho? That is what is important. The whole point is not to fix your present. The whole point of fixing your present is to make your future the way you want it to be. That is what I'm talking about. And I like Varun and talking to... I like talking to the Lightning Emperor for that very reason. Because he comes to represent this very bold view of the future. A very interesting view. It knocks you out of the park when you hear it. You don't have to agree with it. I don't have to agree with it. But you begin to think. You begin to think and that's important. That's important. Because यार तुम्हें अगर लग रहा है तुम्हारे टीचर्स तुम्हारे पेरेंट्स तुम्हारी गवर्नमेंट विल डू द थिंकिंग फॉर यू इट वोंट वो लोग नहीं करेंगे हम लोग भी करने लायक नहीं हैं वी कैन नॉट एग्जैक्टली टेल दैट आइदर कंटेंट क्रिएटर्स और एनी ऑफ अस राइट इट्स यू एंड यू हैव टू बी व्हाट वेरी डायनेमिकली प्लेस्ड मेरे को पता है आज अगर ये करा कल ये हो गया तो वो करना है फिर यू अंडरस्टैंड लाइक यू हैव टू बी वेरी वेरी ऑन गार्ड एंड मैं You do not realize एक ऐसी abstraction, एक ऐसा thought का loop जो हमने यहाँ discuss किया होगा वो 20 साल बाद तुम्हारे लिए competitive advantage बन जाएगा इसलिए नहीं क्योंकि तुमने वो सुना क्योंकि तुमने उस तरीके से सोचना सीखा That is what is important. The whole point of this conversation is to knock you out of the park. Not for you to be like, oh, this is real, this is what is going to happen. That is not the business I'm in. I'm not in the business of telling you what you need to do. I'm in the business of telling you that you need to do something. There is a difference. There's a difference. These are models. People, when jab mere se log aake kehte Prakhar, main aapko emulate karne lagta hu, aapki tarah baat karne lagta hu, aapki har cheez se agree karne lagta hu, main ek of the many models in your head, shayad agar tum mere ko itni izzat dete ho sakta hu. You need models of how people think in your head, so when a problem arises, you can put them together, be like, अच्छा ठीक है मेरे भाई, अब यहाँ नवल रविकांत भी बैठा है, यहाँ गैरी वेनरचक भी बैठा है, द लाइटनिंग एम्परर भी बैठा है, प्रखर भी बैठा है, ये चारों इस बारे में कैसे सोचेंगे? अच्छा ये ऐसे सोचेंगे. ये पर्पस है. तो थोड़ा अनकंफर्टेबल हो अपनी एक्सप्लोरेशन ऑफ ट्रूथ में, क्योंकि मजा ही उसी में आएगा लॉन्ग रन में. इन चीजों को इसलिए अक्वायर मत करो ताकि तुम कल अपने स्कूल और कॉलेज के फ्रेंड्स के सामने कूल बन सको कि मैंने ये स्ट्रीम पे ये सुना था. ये इसलिए अक्वायर करो कि ये एक बिल्डिंग ब्लॉक है जिसको अभी मैं अपने पास रख रहा हूं, हो सकता है कभी भी आज के बाद ये काम आ जाए. ये एक सोचने का जरिया है. लोगों के पास ओरिजिनैलिटी ऑफ थॉट नहीं होता क्योंकि उनको आदत हो गई है किसी के हाथ से झूठा खाने की. इन स्ट्रीम्स का जो मैं अपने बल पे खींच के लाके करता हूं ना तुम्हारे लिए, उसका पर्पस ये है कि तुम औरों से सोचना सीखो. मानो चाहे मत मानो, अग्री करो चाहे डिसएग्री करो, वो तो कोई प्रॉब्लम ही नहीं है. डिसएग्रीमेंट्स नॉट अ प्रॉब्लम, अग्रीमेंट्स नॉट अ प्रॉब्लम. एक्सप्लोरेशन और द लैक ऑफ एक्सप्लोरेशन इज अ प्रॉब्लम. दैट आई वॉन्ट यू गैस टू फिक्स. एनीवे, जाते जाते स्ट्रीम सब लोग लाइक कर दो. अगर तुम लाइक नहीं कर रहे स्ट्रीम तो फायदा क्या है? का फायदा है हमें बता दो, का फायदा है? कछु होगा फिर? कहीं जा करेगा ना करेगा लाइक? जा कमेंट करेगा कि ना करेगा कमेंट? साढ़े तेरे घर में घुस के मारूंगा सब, तो कट्टे से मारूंगा तो घर में घुस के. थोड़ा स्लिप हो गया तो पता ना है कहीं तो बात कर रहा है तू, तो लग रहा है ये सॉल्ट डाल लिया तो कहीं के बाबा बूबा बैठे हैं. साढ़े बाप है तुम्हारे. ठीक है, आके कमेंट कर देना स्ट्रीम पे, अपने फ्रेंड्स को दिखाना है ये स्ट्रीम. बहुत जरूरी बात है, बहुत जरूरी बात है कि तुम्हारे फ्रेंड्स ये स्ट्रीम देखें. बहुत जरूरी बात है कि ये देखो, ऐसा है हमें तो पता है हम ये करते रहेंगे, हमें पता है आज नहीं तो 6 महीने बाद दुनिया को इसके बारे में पता लगेगा, दुनिया बोलेगी वाओ कितना मजा आ रहा है. तुम लोग अर्ली मूवर में, तुम अर्ली मूवर बन के एंजॉय कर लो, तुम लोगों को और सुना भी दो. बट ये तो होना ही होना है. तो हम आते रहेंगे, अगले मंडे हम आपको मिलेंगे. मेरी बहन की शादी है सैटरडे संडे, हम जा रहे हैं शादी में. शादी तो अगले मंडे हम मिलेंगे आपको, मतलब मंडे, नीरज अरोड़ा सर के साथ, और हम बात करेंगे फिर से पर्सनल फाइनेंस के बारे में. ऑलराइट, एंड देन फ्रॉम देयर वी विल सी. इट्स ग्रेट. बाबा बूबा बूबा बूबा.